The Hamlet Podcast, Episode 11. Hello and welcome to this exploration of Shakespeare's King Lear with me, your host, Conor Hanratty. In the last episode, we had a superbly defiant speech from Edmund standing up for himself in this cruel world that would keep him an outsider without an inheritance. So, instead, he's going to do whatever it takes to get what he wants. And we're about to see what he's planning. His father, Gloucester, now enters, muttering to himself about the great goings-on in the world. Kent banished thus, and France in choler parted, and the king gone tonight. Subscribed his power, confined to exhibition, all this done upon the gad. This isn't just a rundown of what's happened in the first scene. There are new details here, too. We do know about Kent's shocking banishment, but now we hear that France has departed in anger, or choler. So we've missed a scene between France and the court that led to this angry departure. Furthermore, Lear is on the move. He's gone tonight, Gloucester says. Clearly, the king is following through with his proclamation and will be on his way now to Goneril's. If this is all the one day down as far as Gloucester's tonight, it's a very momentous day indeed. Different editions will say either subscribed or prescribed his power. Lear has signed away or subscribed his powers as king. He's given it away to his two daughters. Or his power is now prescribed or limited. He is confined to exhibition. He will now be confined to and reliant on an allowance, basically. This exhibition will be little more than pocket money. And all of this, as Gloucester puts it, done upon the gad. This weird little phrase means something like at the point of a stick or a sword, or, more generally, at knife point. Gloucester means that all of this has come about extremely suddenly, and shockingly. As if to prove the theory I suggested last week, that Edmund could have stayed inconspicuous on stage throughout the previous scene, it's only now that Gloucester, his father, notices him, and he says, "Edmund, how now? What news?" I think it's a little bit ironic that Gloucester has come blustering in with all of this information bursting out of him and immediately asks Edmund for even more news. Edmund says there isn't any. "So please, your lordship, none." But as he's saying this, he starts to make a big show of hiding or putting up the letter he produced at the end of his soliloquy. Clearly he's trying to make his father curious, putting on a show of trying to hide the letter. And it works. Gloucester asks, "Why so earnestly seek you to put up that letter?" As Edmund continues to play the role, eagerly trying to make Gloucester think he's hiding something, he says, I know no news, my lord." But Gloucester has taken the bait. He asks, "What paper were you reading?" Edmund continues to play coy, saying, "Nothing, my lord." He's got Gloucester exactly where he wants him now. Gloucester is intrigued to the point of frustration or even anger. But note also that we have a mirror of the first scene, with the repetition of this, "Nothing, my lord." Gloucester picks up on it too. "No? What needed then that terrible dispatch of it into your pocket? The quality of nothing hath not such need to hide itself. Let's see. Come, if it be nothing, I shall not need spectacles." Nothing and nothing. If it's nothing, he's asking, why the big performance of hiding it in your pocket? The quality of nothing, the nature of the very idea of nothing, is such that there's no reason to be hiding it. Nothing can, as we've heard, come of nothing. And if the letter or the piece of paper really does contain nothing, Gloucester won't even need his glasses to look at it. But now Edmund is in full performance mode. "I beseech you, sir, pardon me. It is a letter from my brother, that I have not all o'er read, and for so much as I have perused, I find it not fit for your o'erlooking." He's begging his father, rather dramatically, not to look. It's a letter from his brother, Edgar, but he hasn't had time to read it all. But the amount that he has read isn't appropriate for Gloucester to read. This is like red rag to a bull, and now Gloucester demands to read it. "Give me the letter, sir," he says. Now Edmund plays the beleaguered intermediary. "I shall offend either to detain or give it. The contents, as in part I understand them, are to blame." He will get in trouble or offend, whether he keeps it or hands it over. "I shall offend either to detain or give it." He says that what little of the text he understands are to blame, or, in some texts, to, T-O-O, blame. It's the contents of the letter that are a problem, and they're going to get Edgar, the writer, into trouble for whatever blame will be laid upon him for them. Gloucester is all but grabbing it from Edmund's hands by now. He says, let's see, and presumably takes it from him. Edmund is left to equivocate. "I hope, for my brother's justification, he wrote this but as an essay or taste of my virtue." The letter is, of course, a total fabrication, but already Edmund is acting the martyr and trying to make it look as though he's not involved and trying not to get his brother into trouble. He says he hopes that what's in the letter is just a joke or some kind of exercise or something that Edgar has written to test him. That's the only excuse that Edmund can offer. Of course, we already know that Edmund wrote it and that Edgar has done nothing at all. But Gloucester will now read it out. Surprise, surprise, we'll save the contents for the next episode. Short and sweet this week, but thank you as always for joining me, and I'll speak to you next time.